We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Aspers Casino Newcastle, home of the £4 pint on match day. That's all Newcastle home games and any televised Newcastle fixture. The offer applies from midday until midnight on all draft beers. Be gamble aware, over 18s only. Visit begambleaware.org. Be drink aware, and for details and T's and C's, visit aspersnewcastle.co.uk. It's the True Faith Newcastle United podcast. Newcastle have been soundly beaten by Crystal Palace by 2-0. We've gone from the sublime against Tottenham Hotspur to the dog shit against Crystal Palace. I'm Alex. I have John Lane, Simon Campbell, Charlotte Robson here to talk to you about it and sadly relive it, but maybe talk about some of the more pressing issues, which I would like to begin with. For me, there's a host of terrible performances. There's real questions that we'll get into about the application levels of the players, which is not something we've said very often about this Newcastle side, under Howe. They got totally out-muscled by Crystal Palace. And, you know, there's all sorts of issues about kind of players' performance on the ball. But for me, the game was almost lost before the game. And my friends here on the podcast will be able to testify this is not revisionism from me. I saw the team, I saw the tactics, I said we'll get beat. I was very, very disappointed to see Howe's brilliant solution against Tottenham to his injury woes, which really was a magnificent performance, magnificent kind of tactical flexibility. I thought picking the same team in the same formation against Palace tonight was a recipe for disaster. It proved to be so. Sorry, you disagree with me slightly, but I'm just like Chelsea away, kind of. I'm putting that one on the manager.
Oh, was that my cue to come in? I think that's too simple. You know, what you're saying, we should have played with two different fullbacks. Would we definitely have won the game if the fullbacks had been different? I think the performance across the board was poor. We didn't create anything. You always expect to concede a goal or two away in these kind of performances, and as long as you can get a goal at the other end, you're going to get a result. And we just did not look like scoring tonight. And I don't put that down to the team selection.
Yeah, I think if I'm Crystal Palace's manager and players, I think coming up against Jacob Murphy and Elliot Anderson in defensive positions is a bonus, even though they both did well there against Spurs. I think Emile Kraft and the team was a bonus for the opposition. The back three tonight, the three centre-backs, didn't know who to pick up when throughout the game they were constantly out of position. Someone's got to pick up Mateta. They only got one striker. Someone's got to pick him up, and they couldn't work out between the three of them how to do it. And I think Elliot Anderson, who's been one of the bright sparks in recent weeks, I want to see him play in left midfield, because that's where he's played so well against Fulham. He was great against West Ham there. He was good against Everton there. And instead, he's got to play some bullshit hybrid left back and then right wing, because Howe has put himself in that position that when he does make the changes, it looks even stranger with Wilson and kind of Isak. I don't know what it was. And you know, I take your point, and I understand that you know, the manager sends the players out and they should do better, and I agree. But I just feel that was such a self-inflicted. We did a preview, didn't we, on Patreon, and you called it. You said he will go with what finished against Spurs. And I suppose my argument is, it's just a nonsense picking Emile Kraft in your team and Jacob Murphy in a defensive position in your team when you have Hall and Livramento on the bench, who are both really good, exciting, expensive fullbacks. I just think that the opposition are delighted to see it, and it kind of proved to be that way. But like you say, it's there's more problems than just who played where tonight. John, you want to say something on this?
I think I got it wrong tonight. 100% agree with you there. I don't think it makes him a bad manager. I don't think that this defeat means we won't get into Europe this year. I just think that there's more of the season to come, and I think we've had a lot of games where, you know, it's been a poor performance, and tonight was shocking. It was really poor. Very difficult for us to kind of sit here and say this was a highlight, in any part of the game. But we've got so many more games to come to the end of the season, and it's really easy, and we've done it too many times this year as a fan base, where we've just like gone mental when it's gone well, and we've gone mental when it's gone badly. So I think that's kind of where I am at the minute, is, yeah, wrong decision tonight, definitely. Bit naive to think, you know, the same team that's done well against Spurs is just going to rock up tonight. And that's kind of how it felt for me. It felt like the players just thought, it's all right, we're going to turn up and we're going to get the result because we're on really good form. They had 10 days. That was kind of the biggest shock for me. Like, what have we done in this 10 days? Has it been working on this same system again against Palace? That's the question that's kind of up in the air for me, really.
I think, like, I'm sort of between you guys a little bit, because I think that the squad choice was wrong, but I also possibly think that because of how it all played out. And then kind of on top of that, I kind of think, why could we not do anything in game? Like, we didn't do anything in game. We weren't good from the get-go, really. We, like, Palace were all over us. They were pressing really hard and really high up the pitch, and, you know, had way more shots on target. It just looked like they were going to score before we were anywhere near going to score. And it's this, and we had Hall, Livramento, Wilson even. I know Wilson and Hall did eventually come on, but after the 60th minute when you were already chasing the game, it's just a lack of proactivity and a lack of, I don't know, I do understand that you don't want to admit you've got it wrong and change things in the 40th minute or the 35th minute, but a little humility goes a long way. And if you can do that, even in the beginning of the second half, like, do that, because we were so far behind. If you looked at all the stats that come up on the screen at halftime, we're behind in all of them, with an XG of 0.01, which is just like worse than zero for me somehow, just terrible. And I think that's what I'm most frustrated about, is this complete lack of, like, it's just the sort of like, no, it's fine, it'll be fine. When all of the performances, and there were lots of individually bad performances tonight, there was a complete lack of cohesion on the pitch, which you've alluded to, Alex. But and so it's not just on how, but nothing was changed until too late on in the game, in my opinion.
Well, I would say that the game was, whilst maybe they were the slightly better side, it was still 0-0 after 55 minutes. Isak had been put in a few times, and we'd been very wasteful when we had chances to break. I thought, you know, the ways in which we were clinical against Spurs just weren't evident at all today. And maybe that was just, again, a bit of naivety about how quick Palace were to press us and to get players back in. But I just think, what if you changed it, what kind of message does that send? The team had put in what everyone's described as the perfect performance against Spurs. And if he takes people out of the team, that's not a very good message for those players who've put in such a good performance. I also just think, like at Fulham, Fulham went into that game having won their last two home games 3-0 against Spurs, and was it Brighton? And, we went there worrying about how we're going to keep a clean sheet here, and yet the same defence that we've started today has conceded one goal in the last three games. So you probably thought, you know what, we just need to kind of keep ourselves in the game and keep this one tight, rather than go with a more adventurous lineup that might have included Tino and or Hall. So I get the decision. I think he's respected Palace, who have got a bit of a new manager bounce going on at the minute. You know, they're flying. And he's thought, you know what, we're going to have to keep it tight. We're going to have this dynamic defence again and try and keep ourselves in the game and hope that Gordon, Isak and or Barnes can pull off some magic. And not one of them really looked like doing it tonight.
if we're calling like using Livramento an adventurous way.
Livramento back from injury though, like.
But he came back from injury
played
ages ago.
Spurs.
But he came on the pitch against Spurs. It was nearly 2 weeks ago. Like, unless something else has happened in that time, which we haven't been told.
Yeah, but we've kept two clean sheets.
Hang on, but you're wrong though, because you said it was the same back defense against Fulham, or they've conceded one or three games. Hall played in against Everton so. The thing is, this is what some people say about Howe, is he's fiercely loyal to players. And you're right, Kraft and Murphy, which were the easy ones for me to pick on because I don't think they're very good, particularly Murphy as a defensive player. They did do well against Spurs, but the issue is it was absolutely dog shit tonight, and like, it's not really how management's supposed to work, is it? You're supposed to be able to identify your best 11, put them in the best formation to win the game. And I think when you say, what message does it send? Well, the message I'd be sent to Emil Kraft is, I think Tino Livramento's better than you. He cost 35 million quid.
And I think that's okay.
And I think Lewis Hall is a better, even if you want to play the same formation. In Newcastle, because they had to do so much defending in the first half, they're a flat back five. Surely Lewis Hall's got to be a better shout than Elliot Anderson in a flat back five, which was the position, by the way, everyone said that he hasn't played this season because we don't play a back five, which is how he played at Chelsea. We played it tonight, and it's just frustrating because I just feel like, okay, even if you take out the defensive stuff, you know, what was so good against Fulham as the game went on was Hall, Anderson and Gordon playing together on that left side before Gordon moves right and Barnes comes on left. That's a really attacking, vibrant left side full of energy. Instead, we've kind of got Dan Burn receiving the ball out on the left-hand side, Elliot Anderson inside of him, and then Barnes just not in the game. But Barnes and Gordon almost play as a two behind Isak to match Palace's formation. And when you say, also, Si, you know, kind of, it was nil at half-time, Newcastle didn't have a shot in the first half.
Yeah.
We're playing a team that are 15th in the league, by the way. 15th in the league tonight. And John, you're right. The world hasn't ended. Newcastle aren't a terrible team. I think Newcastle will win against Sheffield United on Saturday. There'll be a more positive podcast on Sunday. But I also don't just want to like toss off games with a, oh, well, you know, what can you do? Because I feel like the manager or the coaching staff in particular could have done some things tonight which maybe would have seen it going an opposite way. And Man United are a really poor side, and we've now got 3 points to make up on them, albeit we play them. But Newcastle's away form is relatively poor, you know, across the season. And then games like tonight, when it comes down to not just your argument, you know, an argument to say on nine side, that it comes down to loyalty out of players who've done well in the previous game. I just feel like elite Premier League management, surely there has to be more to it than, will that work last game, so it'll work this game? Because it didn't. It didn't.
Yeah, but it's not just loyalty, is it? If a back four has kept a clean sheet against a top four team in Spurs, they're going to be full of confidence. They're going to be ready to play the next game, in theory.
Well, then what happens?
I'm saying there was lots of performances that were subpar tonight, and I'm not just including the back four. I don't think the back four was, until the goal, doing a bad job. The goal's shite, and you know, we'll get into that. But I think, you know, we really need, in a game like that, especially away from home, to take our chances. And you know, first half, Isak gets put through one-on-one. He takes one too many touches, or he touches it straight into the keeper. If he scores there, we're having a totally different conversation, because I think we win the game. You know, it's fine margins, and yes, I'm that's pretty much it from the first half. But just like at Fulham, the home side here had their energy. They had a go at his early doors and didn't really threaten until we gave them a soft goal second half. And
I disagree with that. I think they did threaten.
Well, yeah, Fulham threatened, but ultimately they didn't score. Neither did Palace in the first half. You know, that's what happens. You go away to teams and they're going to make some chances, but, you know, especially in the kind of bounce of form they're in. But I just think, you know, that crucial moment in the 55th minute when we just let them score such a soft goal kills any kind of plan to get at them for the last half hour, when you can bring Wilson on and you can maybe bring on Livramento and Hall and add a bit of when they're tired. Whereas I think if we'd used all those early doors and it had gone as badly as it had gone, then what do you do?
I think the other thing, just to add to this, is we were shocking tonight, right? There's no getting away from that, but Palace actually played really well. I think they looked well organised, they pressed, they looked like a side that had been coached well and that had been well prepared for this game. And I think that, for me, it's that question again, what are we doing in game to change it? What are we doing before the game to try and make sure we're picking the right side? And I'm not comparing the two managers when I make this statement, but playing the same 11 that won the last game sounds very Steve Bruce to me. It doesn't sound very Eddie Howe. I
also think part of being an elite manager is being able to handle those players who had kept a clean sheet against Spurs and saying, look, you're all class. You did a class job against Spurs. I'm going to change it up against Crystal Palace. That isn't because I hate you. It isn't because I think you're all shit. But here's what I think I need to do with what I've got to make this work. And I think part of that, you know, I understand it. They'll be riding this high. They'll be feeling confident. And maybe I'm just being naive and it just doesn't work like this at all. And life isn't rainbows and butterflies. But it is, it just... It is. It feels like that's part of the package, isn't it? That being able to kind of manage those conversations and egos and making sure people stay confident and not just putting them on the pitch because they had a good game last week.
These lads are also supposed to be great lads. Let's not forget, yeah. You know, Murphy, you know, Howe loves talking up the Dummets, the Richies, the Murphys, the Crafts, who don't often get a game. Murphy does more than the rest of them, albeit in attacking positions. But it's just the tactical switch, doing a tactical switch like that, what was it against Spurs, 7 games before the end of the season, was purely born out of necessity. His other option was playing Jacob Murphy as a traditional left-back. So everyone understood why he did it against Spurs. It worked really well. It couldn't have gone better. But it just didn't seem like the long-term solution. And it's almost like now against Sheffield United, maybe he does keep it the same, maybe changes it up. We'll have a full preview on Patreon, of course. That one will be lots to talk about. But... like, essentially, if we have an opening 20 minutes, if he doesn't change it, and we have an opening 20 minutes on Sunday that we had tonight, the stadium will be unhappy, you know, kind of how it was against West Ham before everything went right. And again, Howe got it very wrong against West Ham, recognised the failure and fixed it. So he can do it. And as John alluded to, it's not the end of the world that we've lost to Crystal Palace, and Crystal Palace did play well. And Crystal Palace, maybe now with their new manager and a little bit of confidence, are better than their 15th place and 33 points, whatever, before tonight suggests. But I don't think it's that much better based on what they've done. And ultimately, if Newcastle want to be the sixth best team in the country, you probably have to go to the bottom six teams in the Premier League. And I don't say you have to win every game, but fuck me, you have to play better than that. It was just a really poor run. Let's talk about some players, though. I mean, Si, I'll hand back to you because, you know, you're saying it's not necessary formation or team selection. It's more that the team as a collective fell so short. Like, what do you think happened?
Well, exactly that. The way that dynamic formation worked against Spurs was that we made ourselves so hard to break down and that they couldn't get through us, but then we were an absolute threat on the break because Bruno was picking out unreal passes and those front three were there to counter-attack. Now, for whatever reason, I think, you know, Barnes had a very quiet game after having a very good game and his first kind of 90 minutes against Spurs. And, you know, we debated the idea of whether he's more an impact sub, especially away from home, and it worked well against Fulham to keep him back and bring him on later. Maybe that was the option here. I don't know. That's not what we're talking about here, I don't think, by the way. I don't think you're advocating that Barnes shouldn't have started the game. You're just talking about whether the fullback should have been Tino and
he should have played. He should have played 4-3-3 with Tino and Hall. Or if Tino wasn't fit, Emil Kraft as a right back, as he did against Fulham.
Yeah, I suppose what do you do, though? If we play 4-3-3 and you get the same result, you get to half-time, it's 0-0, we've maybe played a little bit better, and then they still score the first goal, then what do you do?
Like, I mean, it's all hypothetical here, but I just assume, because, you know, you referenced the Fulham game as something to look back on as a good thing in relation to what got us here. Against Fulham, we also really struggled. They got a public bollocking, which, by the way, they got today, maybe a slightly a bit less. But again, they got a public bollocking on the pitch and it made no difference whatsoever. I just feel you, Harvey Barnes, Elliot Anderson, your whole left side is going to be so much stronger for the experience. The midfield would make more sense. And also that the back four would, you know, function as a back four. That back line tonight just didn't, I mean, the goals are dreadful. They're dreadful. From not just Dan Burns getting a lot of stick online, but it's not just Burns. There's clearly no understanding of who is supposed to be picking up Mateta for either goal, really. You know, Bruno also loses Will Hughes, I think, for the second goal. So it's poor all round. But I don't know. I've just seen Newcastle do a lot of good things with that formation. I thought against West Ham, we looked brilliant with those players on the pitch in that formation. I thought against Fulham, we looked really strong. I thought against Everton, actually, we put in one of our best performances of the season with that formation, with most of those lads playing. And then to change it like we have just because it worked against Spurs, it's just, you know, to be fair as well to me, which I was going to be to listeners and viewers, I did call this pre-game. I said the exact same thing pre-game. I said, I think we'll get beat tonight and beaten badly pre-game because of what happened. So I love being wrong, particularly about things like this. And I normally am, but I just thought it was a madness. And the the performance was so bad. Let's face it, such a fucking bad performance.
But you know, the key players that we need to turn up, whichever formation we use, didn't really turn up, in my opinion. Like I say, Barnes was very quiet. Gordon had an off game. You know, couldn't get the ball out of his feet. Couldn't get a shot off. Couldn't get the ball to Isak. When we did get the ball to Isak from the odd through ball that did come off, he was taking one too many touches. He was ending up drifting out wide and then just tying himself in knots. Longstaff, Passenger, one big opportunity to get through. Maybe he should have had a penalty. Maybe it's a light touch, but probably, lots of pens for that are given. I'm sure Man United would have got a penalty for it. There's an argument he should have stayed in his feet because he's in and he can shoot or he can put it back cross goal. It's frustrating to see him go down so easily, but probably should have had a pen. But, you know, it's decision-making in those positions across the board were poor. Anderson, yes, I get that he was playing this hybrid position. He wasn't anywhere near as effective as he has been in other games, but across the board, like you say, burn and share, confusion. None of that was evident last week, but it was there tonight. Dubravka gets megged for the second goal. Like, there's so many mares tonight across the entire 11 that there's 100 different ways you can describe what went wrong tonight, and it's not just the formation or the setup or the team selection.
I don't think that helped, though. And I think that's the point. And I think if he goes in and makes those changes, I don't think there's widespread criticism and well, why didn't you just play what you played against Spurs because that worked? I just don't think
you'd be saying that if we lost the game.
No, I don't think so. No.
If he changes back and loses the game, everyone says, "What the hell happened? You had it perfect against Spurs, and then you've changed it and we've lost."
But it's such an extreme tactical change to the blueprint of his whole team, how they play in pre-season, how they played all season, how they play in the Champions League, how they played.
Nonetheless, just a that's exactly change. What would happen. That is what would happen. People would be questioned for changing it back if he lost the game.
We're on hypotheticals, so yeah. we'll leave it there for part one of the show. A few ads coming up. If you want to listen to this show without the adverts or even me referencing them, come and join us on Patreon. It's only £3 a month for that tier. Lots of extra Newcastle United podcasts as we build up to Sheffield United in our crucial game on that. So link in the description to that.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
So Newcastle are essentially in a head-to-head race, or so we thought, with Manchester United for sixth place. Man United have won 4-2 tonight. Newcastle have lost 2-0. The fixtures that both teams play are eerily similar. Newcastle now have Sheffield United on Sunday. John, do you think this is a hammer blow to Newcastle's kind of Europa League sixth place hopes? Or do you think there's still a long way to go and Man United are kind of so bad that they'll let us back in?
I mean, they're fucking shite. They are. the weekend showed that they went down twice tonight before coming back to win 4-2. And I think you've coined it before. They're a team with some very expensive, good footballers, but they don't play well as a team. There's just no cohesion there. And that's one thing we do have. We do have cohesion. Now, I know we didn't have that tonight. But, you know, going into Sheffield United on Saturday, that's a real good opportunity for us. You know, the last time we played them, we did all right against them. Just the 8 goals at their place. So, look, I think we'll create chances. I think we'll score goals. It's about kind of building that momentum back up. But Man United are more than capable of dropping more points. The only thing we have to remember is that we've never actually finished ahead of them in the league before. And we should have done last year. So I think we've got a really good chance. We've just got to do what we can do, really. It's as simple as that.
I think we just have to be careful of all the little men in their huts outside of football grounds looking at VAR, because they will be looking for Manchester United to finish above us. I don't think tonight totally harms our chances. I think it was a real letdown. It felt like a real letdown after feeling like we're getting that Eddie Howe end of season momentum and feeling like, oh, we're just going to storm the end of the season and it's just going to be class and probably going to finish fourth again. Nobody thought that. So tonight was disappointing from that perspective. But I don't think tonight means we're shit. I'm going to chalk it down to an off night. I think the players know. You could see it on their faces that they knew that it wasn't clicking tonight. It wasn't working for them. But we're at home on Saturday against a side that's terrible. And we have ample opportunity. As you said in part one of the podcast, we are playing Man United in this time as well. We have ample opportunity to kind of catch them up and make something of this season. And it's worth sitting down, zooming out, thinking about where we are in the season with everything that's happened and how mental it's been. And I don't want to, hark back and say ahead of schedule or any of those buzzwords, but I don't think tonight means that the season's over. I think there's plenty more to play for. There's loads of winnable games. I don't think it's going to be easy because it is a scrappy little few places, like those two places in the table. This is going to be a scrappy sort of end of season, and I don't think some of it's going to be pretty, but I think it's going to be okay. So that's my dose of positivity.
Yeah, John said it in the first part of the show, like it's not the end of it. You know, we can still absolutely finish in Europe. The next three games are the one now. I think there's absolutely no reason we can't aim for 9 points from Sheffield United, Burnley and Brighton at home after what we did to Brighton at home last season. Absolutely doable. And then you go to Old Trafford and you just have to not lose that game, which we're also absolutely capable against that Man United team. So it's all still to play for. I think the Premier League's been mental this season. There's been so many shock results, just like teams just beat each other, especially in that pack that's off the top three, basically. There's just teams dropping points for fun. We're one of them this season. We are dropping points ridiculously a lot of the time in games we shouldn't, but as are the others. You know, if you look at other teams around us, Chelsea, you've got difficult run in, they're not going to catch us, I don't think. So it is just Man United we're worried about. West Ham have blown it. It's all to play for. We've got a lot to do because I think we can also drop more points between now and the end of the season. We've shown we can do it. Man United will. It's whether or not we can make the ground on them, because, you know, at one point tonight we were drawing, they were losing, and you were thinking, yeah, that's okay. A point would have been fine as long as they'd lost the game. But instead, we're here with more to do. So it's going to be harder, but it is still doable.
It's the away form is the concern for me. And like we've referenced, Newcastle could have gone there tonight. They could have got unlucky. They could have been a little bit off their best, but performed at something recognisable, whatever formation they played, and still gotten beat and still drawn and still found themselves 2 points by Manchester United. But the kind of just complete phone it in performance that we've seen away from them. And I'm going to exclude the top sides here, okay? Because anyone can go to the top sides and get a hammering. But, you know, Newcastle at Brighton, Bournemouth, Luton,
Everton.
I'll ignore Spurs because, as I said, no top sides, even though we beat them last week. Someone else who I forget. Like you just said, Charlotte, earlier, it almost felt like we're past tonight. It was like that was a symptom of injuries and fatigue. And while Newcastle still have injuries, the kind of mitigation that was provided earlier in the season, which I think most fans broadly accepted, I don't think any of those things can apply to tonight. And the fact that we have two at home and three away, that's the concern, because Brentford away isn't going to be easy. They're going to play a lot. They're going to play very similar to how Palace play tonight. They're going to be direct. They're going to be physical. And then we've got Man United and Burnley. We are to finish sixth. Possibly to finish seventh, but definitely to finish sixth. We are going to have to do something in those away games. We are going to have to play. Well, we're going to play better in every game than we did tonight. And there's just now a question mark, because again, to take it back to Fulham, Fulham just seems like a template away 4-3-3. Get better as the game goes on. Right? You look at times you have to away from home, but the first 20 minutes against Fulham were probably even worse than tonight. But there was just no improvement. And then, like you also said, Charlie, earlier, we got to half-time and you're expecting some sort of reaction kind of mentally from the players or tactically or subs, and to just come in and just kind of continue to play. I suppose one of the issues that some people have with Howe is when it's going so disastrously badly, something bad has to happen for them to change it. So we were only ever going to make those subs as early as we did when we went 1-0 down. You know, if the game was 0-0 on 55 minutes or 60 whenever he made those subs, he ain't making those subs. So I'm bringing a load of negativity, but, you know, I'm really enthused for sixth, assuming Man City win the cup final, because Europa League is just a completely different level to the conference it is. And I think some Newcastle fans kind of, because they don't pay that much attention to the conference, think you're playing like the 12th best team in Azerbaijan. You're not. You're playing pretty good teams. Like, look at who Villa have played Ajax this season, although they're having a bad season. They've just played, was it Lille in France? Well, someone from France, and got through. There are good teams in the conference with good away games and good followings, but the Europa League, crucially, is a gateway to the Champions League. And that's what's re-energized that competition, because it's now a really important competition, because if teams win it, there's such a fantastic endpoint. And I just think it would be such a shame if we let Man United kind of stumble towards the finish line, because we ourselves have also stumbled towards the finish line. If Man U go and win all of the games, even if they get beat by us, and finish sixth, then I think everyone can kind of take that. But if Man U do what a lot of people expect them to do, which is just be like, you know, kind of, you know, absurdly mediocre or fucking dog shit and nothing else and still finish sixth, I think that would be a real opportunity missed, despite the problems Newcastle have had with injuries. And it's the away form that concerns me. So we're going to have, I expect us to beat Sheffield United. Whatever formation he plays, we'll beat Sheffield United, you'd hope. Burnley is a more interesting one. But and then it's the kind of, you want to go into that last week of the season when we have three games. You want to go into that week still in with a shout of six, a realistic shout, because then it's in our hands and we'd have done some good things to get ourselves there.
I think what's really promising, though, is I think like tonight feels like the anomaly, whereas a few weeks ago it felt like that Villa performance, which was exceptional, had been the anomaly of all these bad performances. I feel like this is like Charlotte said it, like it was a bad night. But I feel like that means that we'll kind of push on from here and we will play well, we will build our form back. And maybe that's blind faith or true faith, however I'm meant to put it. But that's the way I see it. I see tonight's the blip. That's not the norm. That's not what we've seen in the last few weeks. We've had, you know, we've played much, much better than this. You just hope they've got it out of their system before Saturday.
I think we'll leave it there for this week. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back after Sheffield United the following day. We're on Patreon, of course. Come and join us. It keeps this show free. And there's loads of content on there, both leading up to Sheffield United and beyond. We will speak to you then. Bye-bye. This podcast is brought to you by Aspers Casino Newcastle, home of the £4 pint on match day. That's all Newcastle home games and any televised Newcastle fixture. The offer applies from midday until midnight on all draft beers. Be gamble aware, over 18s only. Visit begambleaware.org. Be drink aware, and for details and T's and C's, visit aspersnewcastle.co.uk.